Vicky. Hi there, everyone. My name is Adrian, and it's great that you could join us for this series on faith, hope, and love as we listen to God speak to us words that we really need to hear. So it'd be great to pay attention, get ready to kind of move through the Bible. We're going to cover a lot of stuff, but it's an awesome topic because hope is such an important and vital thing for humans. Hope is actually like water and food and air. You can't live without it. Without that sense that whatever things are like now, good things are coming. We need hope because hope is like light in the darkness. Hope is like the warmth of bright sunshine when you're cold. It's like cool, refreshing water when you're thirsty. Hope brings joy and life and laughter. Hope lifts our hearts. It refreshes our minds. It soothes our souls. It energizes our spirits. It gives us strength. Even in times of sorrow and darkness, hope is truly amazing. But the reality is life without hope is unbearable. To have nothing to look forward to, well, that's why we call it hopeless. But you know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19, it says, if in this life only we have hope, then we should be pitied more than anyone. Literally, we are of all people most miserable. If the only hope you have is hope for this short life, it's saying, if you don't have any hope for beyond this life, then that's actually just miserable because this life is so short. This life is like a vapor. It's like a fog in the morning and it just disappears quickly. This life is brief and full of trouble. And if all your hope is tied to what happens here and now, then that's miserable, God says. And the sad thing is, that's how it is for most people. The vast majority of the world just have the emptiness, the meaninglessness, the pain of this life because there is no sure hope of life to come. Now, sure, they try to drown that misery in alcohol or drugs or in sex and pleasure and entertainment. They drown that misery in possessions and career and in sequential, meaningless relationships trying to fill themselves up. But in the end, they all disappear. And if that's all there is, then there is no hope. I mean, why is it that so many rich and famous people, the celebrities who seem to have everything that we think matters in life, that they're all addicted to substances to help them cope? And they're all desperately unhappy, and their kids hate them, and they're on their fifth marriage. They have no hope other than this brief life. And they're miserable no matter how much they try to hide it. No matter how many Instagram posts of awesome holidays in the Greek islands, deep down, what they have is not real. What they have is not lasting. You know, C.S. Lewis once said that the problem is not that people's desires are too strong. It's not that people's dreams and hopes are too powerful or too big. The problem is they're too small. People's desires and dreams and hopes are too weak, too small, too inconsequential. Listen to what he says about humanity. This will come up on the screen. It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday by the sea. We are far too easily pleased. See, Christianity is not the message that you need to deny desire. You can't have happiness or joy. In fact, it's the opposite. God offers us infinite joy, perfect, complete happiness. But we're too easily pleased, and we're too readily satisfied, and we're too quickly distracted by this shallow, empty, temporary things in this life when there is held out for us eternal joy, infinite delight through relationship with God. See, people are looking for love, and they're looking for hope. And they're desperate for someone to believe in, but they're looking on such a small scale to fleeting things when they should be looking to create a God and to eternity and to his offer to us of limitless, infinite joy and satisfaction desiring His immeasurable love, longing for the satisfaction of His presence, and relying on His unlimited power to save them. What people need is hope that is real, hope that is certain, and hope that lasts. People have a lot of hope, but it's falsely placed hope. We need hope that isn't based on temporary, dissatisfying, fleeting things, on a momentary optimism that, oh, I think it'll be okay. What people need is hope that is an anchor for the soul. Something real and solid and dependable and lasting. And this is precisely how the Bible describes the hope we have in Jesus. You know, tonight I'm going to try and give us a good dose of hopeology, a deep and grounded knowledge of what hope really is. And we start with Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. If you have your Bible, then follow me as we kind of chase through a whole bunch of passages. If not, the passage will come up on the screen. But Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 says this: "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. Jesus has entered there on our behalf as a forerunner because He has become a high priest forever." You see, this hope is real. This hope is an anchor for our soul. It's firm, it's secure, because the hope is Jesus. And Jesus has entered God's holy place, entered God's presence on our behalf as our forerunner. He's opened up the way for us to be welcomed. We can follow in. This is how we can have hope that isn't kind of dependent on present circumstances coming and going, the ups and downs of roller coaster life. This is how we can have hope that lasts even through dark times. Because sometimes we can feel like we are a ship out on the sea, blown about by the winds of whatever's happening around us. Circumstances, other people's actions and words. We're buffeted by the winds and the storms. We're pounded by the waves. We feel swamped and overwhelmed. And when you go through a breakup, or when you don't get into uni, or you lose your job, or whatever it is, it can all feel too much. But we have this anchor that holds us fast. We have hope that is secure and firm and grounded and unmoving. And because we are connected to Jesus, then we are firm and secure and unmoving, because our hope is Jesus, the anchor of our soul. And so our future is sure. And that's what holds us safe now. It's the knowledge that we have a salvation in store, the greatest part of which is still to come. And so that's the second point that I want us to look at tonight. We've looked at hope is an anchor for our soul. But secondly, hope means the best is yet to come. See, it's awesome being a Christian because we get to experience so many joys of salvation here and now. Forgiveness and acceptance and belonging and God's love and God's favor. But you know what? Even what we've tasted now can't be compared to what God has in store for us, what God has prepared for us when our hope becomes a reality. The true benefits and blessings of salvation are as yet unrealized, and we hold on to them by hope. They're still to come in all their fullness, in all their perfection. And right now we are eagerly waiting with expectation, with anticipation, with assurance and confidence and joy. We're waiting for that moment, for that day. Because when it comes, it's the realization of all our hopes. So turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 is a chapter that's all about the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. And it's a pretty spectacular chapter. It's worth reading the whole thing. But I just want to focus on a couple of verses as it kind of keeps giving us assurance and confidence, and there's no condemnation and everything works for our good in Christ Jesus. But have a look at verse 23. Not only that, but we ourselves who have the Spirit as the first fruits, promise of what is to come, we also groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. Now, in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is not hope, because who hopes for what he sees? Now, if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with patience. See, in Romans 8, it's telling us that our hope is still to come, that we've got all these benefits and blessings, but we haven't even seen yet the good stuff that's really coming. And in Romans 8, it says it's our adoption as God's children. We get to call Him Father. We are His sons and daughters. And it's the redemption of our bodies, not the rejection of our bodies as if we leave them behind, but the redemption. These bodies become brand new in the resurrection on that day. See, we already have, we saw last week in Ephesians 2, we already have the redemption of our soul and our spirit made alive with Christ. We have been transformed by the renewing power of God's Holy Spirit. We are new as an inner person, but we still have this old, unredeemed flesh, this human body, and we eagerly wait for our hope, where we will receive a brand new body. We will be brand new, completely made like Christ, transformed into the image of Christ, with all the fullness of Christ, with the glory and the love and the righteousness that only belong to Him. Which is why death for Christians doesn't hold fear. It's not the end. It's actually, it's setting free. It's a transformation. It is loosing, the way the Bible describes it. You know, I read online this week that the world's richest man, Jeff Bezos, the Amazon guy, is investing enormous sums of money, millions of dollars, into researching how to stop the aging process and live forever. Now, he's not the only one. There's a whole bunch of people searching desperately for the scientific solution to the problem of death. What's really sad, though, is that he, like so many, ignores the fact that Jesus already offers the guarantee of perfect eternal life in perfect resurrection bodies, in a perfect new creation, and it's completely free. It's already paid for. We already have the answer. And you know what? It's way better and way more certain than anything science can come up with. And we know God is the one who determines life and the number of days that people have. He's the one in charge. But think about it, even if they can prolong life for a while, it's still going to be a life of sin, a life of lostness, darkness, ignorance, spiritual death. It's still going to be a life lived out of step with God and out of harmony with each other. But in the Bible, eternal life is not just life for a really long time. It's what life is always meant to be. It's joyful relationship with our God and with Him as our Father, and it's perfect loving fellowship with each other. That's our hope in a perfect renewed creation. And it lasts forever. See, it's why the Bible describes that life, that hope, as a feast. It's a banquet. It's a wedding celebration. It's a party. It's the best holiday you've ever been on times a million. It is all the best parts of love and friendship and community and happiness and joy, but better. The eternal life, our hope, that God has already paid for in Jesus' death and resurrection, is not just quantity, like a long time. It's quality. It's perfectly everlasting, unendingly limitless, but it's infinitely, perfectly joyful and good, and it is free. And because of Jesus Christ, because of His death, because of His resurrection, it's guaranteed. And that's our third point. Our hope is guaranteed in the blood of Jesus. You see, the reason why it's so important for us to be talking about hope tonight is because of how dark and dangerous our times are. We face massive hardship and challenges and a sense of a terrible future looming ahead. And I'm not talking about COVID. I'm not talking about the economy. I'm not even talking about the Storm winning another grand final. The greatest issue our world faces right now is the coming judgment of God. The God who created this world and created us will hold us all accountable for how we've treated Him and how we've treated each other. He will bring justice. The reason hope matters so much now is not because we face a future where we don't know what will happen, but rather because we face a future where God has told us exactly what will happen. Judgment for every person. inescapable judgment for every thought, every action, and every motive of the heart. We will not just get away with it. We all must face the judgment seat of God. That's why we need hope beyond this life. But let me take you now to 1 Peter chapter 1. This is the passage that we had read earlier. At 1 Peter 1, in light of that certain future, I want to remind us of the certain hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Because in 1 Peter 1, we're given five very clear reasons for having undying hope, unending, unbreakable hope, unshakable hope in Jesus Christ, guaranteed in His blood. This is the kind of hope that is the most sure and certain thing that exists. And so let's go to this awesome passage. Let it fill you up. Let it lift you up. Just soak up the assurance and the confidence. The first thing we see is that our hope is alive. Our hope is living. Have a look at verse 3. 1 Peter 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. See, His mercy has given us new birth, a whole brand new start, a whole brand new self and identity and purpose into a living hope. Our hope is alive. Our hope is breathing and active and effective and powerful. And the reason our hope is alive is because Jesus is alive. It's through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Our hope is certain and living and powerful because not even death could stop Jesus. And He is our hope and our future. Which leads us to secondly, our eternal hope is kept in heaven by God. See, we've been given new birth by God's mercy. Verse 4, into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. So there's our future. There's our hope. It's an inheritance because God is our Father and we are His children. Here is this certain inheritance that cannot perish. This treasure in heaven that's not going to rust. It's not going to go moldy or decay. It's imperishable and it's undefiled. Our hope will never go bad and it has no use-by date. It cannot be corrupted. It's unfading. Our hope, our inheritance, our eternal life will never lose its shape or lose its color or lose its value. It will never cease to be perfect because it is kept in heaven. It is secure. No one can steal it. You cannot lose it and it cannot break. It's guarded by God Himself. That's how secure it is. And thirdly, even more, we read that we are being guarded by God's power. Have a look at verse 5. You are being guarded by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. So just as God is guarding and protecting and keeping secure our hope, our life, our place in heaven, our inheritance and blessing with Him, at the same time He is guarding and protecting and keeping secure us, keeping us safe through faith for that time. God's power is guarding you and His power is limitless. That's how you have hope. Our future is safe and we are safe because our hope is alive by the power of God, which means that fourthly, not even suffering can get in the way of this hope. Have a look at verse 6 and 7. You rejoice in this guaranteed protection, this future. You rejoice in this, even though now, for a short time, if necessary, you suffer grief in various trials, so that the proven character of your faith, more valuable than gold, which, though perishable, is refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You see, that hardship and grief and trials and suffering, they're actually working for us. Rather than hardship and trials now being a sign that God's power is not with us or God's power is not enough, it is, in fact, His power at work in us, protecting us and refining us like gold that goes through the fire and all the dirt and all the impurities are burnt off and what you're left with is purest, finest, precious gold, just like a lump of coal under a mountain of pressure is turned into a diamond, that's us. That's our faith. Nothing can stop God's purpose and God's hope and God's future at work in us. Because fifthly, here's the fifth reason for us to have rock solid confidence, is this future glory is already at work in us now. Verse 8, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though not seeing him now, you believe in him and you rejoice with inexpressible and glorious joy because you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. See, we can't see Jesus, but we can't wait till we do. But we love him. We can't see Jesus now, but we believe in him and trust in him and rejoice in him because, notice, we are receiving the goal of our faith, salvation. We wait for hope, but we're already receiving it now. The future glory is already at work in our lives while we wait for its fullness. The resurrection hope is already at work in our spirits. Our hope is truly guaranteed in the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the most secure and sure thing in the universe because our hope is alive, because it's kept in heaven by God, even while we are guarded by God, so that not even suffering can get in the way, because future glory is already at work in us. That's God's guarantee and promise in the blood of Jesus. And you know, Paul puts it this way in Titus. So if you just flick back a little bit to Titus chapter 1, we see Paul starts his letter to Titus by describing his own ministry. Paul describes himself as a servant of God, an apostle of Christ Jesus. And he says the goal of his ministry in verse 1 is the faith of God's chosen people and their knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness in the hope of eternal life. Now, we're tempted to read that last bit and we think, oh, maybe he's saying that perhaps they will get eternal life. If I work hard enough, if I serve hard enough, if I preach hard enough, it might happen. I do these things hoping they'll get eternal life, possibly. But listen to what he says in verse 2, Titus chapter 1, verse 2, in the hope of eternal life, that God who cannot lie promised before time began. See, God promised eternal life to his people who put their faith in Jesus before time even began. That's how secure this is. Hope has been promised, and God always keeps his promises. God cannot lie, and he's spoken this. But here's the question, how do we know? How do we know what God said before the universe existed? How do we know what God promised and that he promised eternal life before time began? Verse 3, the next verse, he goes on, in his own time, he has revealed his word in the preaching with which I was entrusted by the command of God, our Savior. We know exactly what God's plan was from before time. We know exactly what God's plan into eternity is because he has revealed it in the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, of God our Savior. And his plan was and is and always will be to give sure and certain hope to undeserving sinners. The hope of forgiveness, the hope of reconciliation, and the hope of salvation and eternal life to those who trust in Jesus. Guaranteed in the blood of Christ. And so I want to finish our time tonight thinking about hope by pointing out that hope makes a difference. Hope makes a difference. Many of you will remember back in 2010 that there was a disaster in Chile when 33 miners were trapped when the tunnel of their mine collapsed. They were trapped 700 meters underground. They were trapped 5 kilometers away from the entrance to the mine, 700 meters below ground, and they were down there for 69 days. I can't think of anything worse, personally. But apparently the first 17 days were awful. They were horrific. It was distressing. They were running out of food, they were running out of water, and they were turning on each other. It was chaotic, and it was horrible. But everything changed on day 17. Everything changed the day that a small drill from the surface broke through into that area. And that changed everything because they had real hope. See, up until then, they might have been wishing someone maybe will rescue us. But even though it took another 52 days to get them out, they now had the expectation. They had been found. They would be saved. And it changed the way they treated each other. It changed the way they shared food and water and organized themselves and had jobs to get stuff done. It changed because they had hope. Hope made a difference. It changed everything for them. When you come to Jesus, or more accurately, when Jesus comes into your life, you find hope in Him that makes all the difference. He has broken into our desperate situation of darkness and lostness. We could not get ourselves out. And He has broken in and He's given us knowledge and He's given us hope and He's given us the expectation of the future. We have been found. We will be saved. And this hope makes a difference in three ways. Firstly, hope protects us. Hope protects us. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 8, again up on the screen. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled and put on the armor of faith and love and a helmet of the hope of salvation. Notice again, it's the three of them. It's faith and love and hope. And hope is our helmet. This is the armor that we have that protects us. I mean, we need to be prepared for battle. We need to be equipped and protected. And hope is like our armor. Hope is like our helmet that protects our head and keeps us safe. It's like a shield against fear and doubt and uncertainty. When your hope is in Jesus, it will protect you. It will protect your thinking. It will keep you safe no matter what. Hope protects us. Secondly, hope purifies us. 1 John 3, verses 2 to 3. Dear friends, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet been revealed. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him because we will see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. See, we have this awesome future ahead of us that Jesus is coming and we will be like Jesus. That's our expectation. That's our anticipation. That's what we're looking forward to with joy. We'll know Jesus perfectly and we'll be like Him in glory. And having that hope in Jesus purifies us. It makes us stand out in a corrupt, messed up world because it changes our thoughts. It changes our hearts and our desires. It changes us. So hope protects us. Hope purifies us. And thirdly, the difference hope makes is it pacifies us. Have a look at Romans 15, verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Notice He is the God of hope. He's in the business of providing hope. And He's so good at it, He's rightly called the God of hope. I mean, you might call someone the God of, you know, kind of fantasy football or spreadsheets or making croissants, whatever it is. What you're saying is they are the best. God is literally the God of hope. This is what He does. And as you put your faith in Him, as you put your hope in Him, then He will fill you with all joy and with all peace as you believe. That's the difference hope in God makes. It fills you with all the joy there is. And it fills you with all the peace there is, the confidence and assurance. Because we know exactly what lies ahead. In fact, God is so good at this that we will overflow with hope, it says, by the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to have so much hope. We're going to have hope to spare. We have hope to share. There'll be so much hope in us that it will overflow to give hope to others. That's the whole point. Because when you have experienced hope that is an anchor for your soul, when you have tasted hope that says powerfully, the best is yet to come, when you know hope that is guaranteed in Jesus' blood, that hope makes all the difference in your life. It fills you with joy. It fills you with peace. Because we are filled with the Holy Spirit of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this word that you've given us tonight. Thank you that it reveals to us your plans from before time and your plans into eternity, plans to save us and wash us and transform us and accept us and welcome us. And Father, please help us to put our hope and our trust in you. You are the God of hope. Please fill us with joy, with peace. Fill us with your hope that comes from the Holy Spirit. And Father, thank you for the confidence and assurance we can have in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.